Bible tonight. We're going to have a lot of verses tonight. We'll preach a little bit tonight. We're going to start 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to give you a little doctrine tonight. And I'm going to start giving you some every so often to help you out. And I'm a preacher, amen? So I'm going to preach a little bit and teach a little bit. You know, I like what Brother Charlie said one time. He said, if you can't tell the difference between a man teaching and preaching, he's not called to preach. Amen? That's a pretty good thing. Preaching and teaching is completely different. Amen? And I like to preach Sunday night, but I'm going to teach a little bit tonight too and give you a little bit. And 2 Timothy 2:15, this is the key to your Bible right here. This is it. The only time the word study appears in your King James, taken out of the new. None of the new Bibles have study in it. But it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the way you understand it and study it is you divide it. All things different are not the same. If you don't understand the difference between law and grace, you're in trouble. If you don't understand the difference between faith and works, you're in trouble. They're totally opposite. If you don't understand the difference between the church and Israel, you're in trouble. If you don't understand the difference between Jews and Gentiles, you're in trouble. If you don't understand the difference between the flesh and the spirit, you're really in trouble. Big time. And there's a difference. They're different. They rightly divide the word of truth. And I'm going to teach to you a little bit and preach to you tonight on what they call standing in state. It's probably the greatest single doctrine. If I had to say this is the greatest single doctrine in the Bible for the New Testament Christian after you're saved, it's your standing and your state. And standing deals with your eternal security. And state deals with your walk with the Lord. And a lot of people get them mixed up, the charismatics. They can't get the standing straight. That's why they doubt their salvation. But they get the state right. They're trying to work for it. They're hard workers. You go to charismatic church, they get excited about God and they'll work. They're alive. The Baptists are just the opposite. Baptists, they get the standing straight. They got their eternal security, but they can't get the state straight. That's why you go to Baptist church, it's dead as 4 o'clock normally. You say, why? They just got fire insurance and that's all they want. They got the standing and they stop right there. But the thing is, folks, there's so much more available to you than just your salvation. Amen. And there's that standing and state. And the foundation of the Christians is our relationship with the Lord. Starts with that. Then it goes to our stewardship and our fellowship and walk with the Lord. And I want to give you a few things about this standing and state. And I will just say, start off first of all with standing. And the word standing means this. It means your position, a status. Let me turn my timer on. Standing is position. Its status is established by law or custom. It's not movable. It's permanent. It's continuing in existence or position indefinitely. And you're standing with the Lord. It is a permanent, secure, steadfast position that'll never, 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 never change. It's set. God said it. That's your standing with God. And I'll give you some scriptures about it. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 3. That standing is a permanent, secure relationship. Go to John chapter 3, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Your standing with the Lord does not depend on you. Totally. You have nothing to do with it outside of taking it. That's it. It's totally faith. It's totally something that God did. It's your standing with the Lord. It's permanent. And it happened the very second you got saved. Right then. It'll never change. It's what Fanny Crosby sung, to God be the glory. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon received. Right then. In John chapter 3, Jesus Christ says this in John chapter 3, talking there to Nicodemus. And he says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, so and so. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time his mother's womb be born? And he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's the first birth, and of the Spirit, that's the new birth, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee,
be, you must be born again. And when you got saved, the very second you got saved, you got a new birth. And let me tell you, you had nothing to do with it. Nothing. My son came to the world, he's my son. Guess what? He had nothing to do with it. Zilch, nada, zero. It was me and that woman brought him in the world, and God. Same way with God. When I got saved, the moment I got saved, the minute I asked Jesus Christ to save me, I got born again of the Spirit right then, and I had nothing to do with it. God did it. Marvel not that you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that's the first birth, and that which is born of the Spirit, that's the second birth. 1 Peter 1:23 said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. That's a new birth. You know what? You can't change your birth. Your birth is steadfast. I mean, my birth certificate may have the wrong name on it, but I'm still here. It was so funny. We was looking for my wife's birth certificate. Couldn't find it. You know, we finally found it. God opened it up. We prayed about it. And I asked my daughter, I said, we found it. I finally found it. She sent me back and said, well, I'm so glad. I thought Mom was an alien. You know what? You got a birth. And you can't go back outside your mother's womb and be unborn again, just like Nicodemus. It's steadfast, it's sure as you're standing. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. When you got saved, you got a new birth. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You're not the same person. And that new creature in Christ Jesus is your standing with God, and you had nothing to do with it. God did it. A new creature, all things are passed away. Galatians 6:15, for in Christ neither there circumcision nor availeth anything, but a new creature. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. The minute you got saved, you got a new birth. Just like this birth here, you had nothing to do with it. Brother Zito's parents, before he got saved, they didn't come to him and say, hey, we're going to bring you in the world, is that okay? He had nothing to do with it. You didn't have a vote, did you?
No,
Sarah didn't have a vote. Before you was born, did you come ask me if you could be born? Had nothing to do with it. See, that's standing. Standing is what God did. Well, if you've been saved, you've been born again, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Look at 1 John chapter 3. And the moment you got saved, something took place. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Watch it. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We're not waiting to become the son of God. The moment you got saved, you was born again, you was a new creature, and you became the son of God, and God became your Father. Romans chapter 8, 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. You see, my children will always be my children. They get mad at me, Samantha. They say, I don't ever want to speak to you again. All that kind of stuff. But nothing will change their standing. That their standing is, they were born in this world. They're my son. They're my children. I'm their father. And it'll never change. That's your standing. And God did all that. You had nothing to do with it outside of just taking, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. That's your standing. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us. See that? He begotten us. We didn't got Him. Again, unto lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, watch it, who are kept by the power of God through faith until the salvation be revealed in that time. God keeps me. God saved me. And my standing with God is secure, it's permanent, it never changes. My relationship to my children will always be there, no matter what. And your standing deals with your relationship to God. He is your Father. You are His Son. You've been born again. You're a new creature. You're born spiritually. My children can't ever change that. I read an interview a couple of weeks ago, And it was with a daughter of the BTK killer. Y'all ever heard of him? Stands for bond, torture, and kill. He killed 30-something people and tortured them. He was a respectable guy in the neighborhood. Nobody knew it, you know, this guy. But it was an interview with her. And it was really interesting. It was a long interview she was talking about. She said he was a good father. And she said in that interview, I'll never forget it, she said, you know, she said, I would love to hate my father. She said, for all the things he did, she said, I would love to hate him. But she said, I can't do anything but love him, she said, because he's still my father. Even with that, it don't change anything. No matter how far you get out in this world, no matter what happens, no matter how far you want to get away from God, he is still your father. I used to go years ago down at the DHS home down there, the home they had in Clay, had for the youth kids, and had boys and girls. And David Wood was a chaplain then, and we'd go down there and help Brother David. We'd go on Sundays at 2 o'clock, Esther would play the piano some when his daughter couldn't, I'd preach and deal with them. And on Monday nights, I had a little Bible study for about 20 little black kids. They'd come in there, you know, and every Monday night, I'd go down there and teach them a little Bible. And I used to talk to them. And I remember talking to some of them, trying to get them saved. And they say, and these kids were hardcore. These were the bad boys, you know. They were young, 15, 14. And I say, man, you need to. They say, I can't live it, Reverend. I can't live it. They said, I'm going to go back there and all them holes over there and all that drugs over there and all that crack. And my mother, she's a prostitute. She said, I can't live it, Pastor. I can't live it. And I said, you don't have to live it. I said, here's what you need to do. You need to get this settled. You need to get saved and get God in your life and get it done. And no matter what happens forever, this is taken care of. No matter what you do out there, no matter how far you go, God has saved you. And that's your standing in Jesus Christ. You can't change that. You know why? You had nothing to do with it. Just like your first birth. My kids, they're my kids no matter what. When you got saved, God the Holy Ghost came inside you. No, you're not. Your body's the temple of God. Inside you right now, you're saved. And that Bible says you're sealed unto the redemption. And that earnest of the Spirit is given you to inheritance and undefiled. And brother, there's nothing you can do to change that. My kid's birth is inherent. All God asks us to do is receive it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Our standing is our faith. It's faith, it's faith, it's faith in Jesus Christ. No works involved. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Our standing is permanent. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that one of the greatest things in my mind? I could preach and teach you this on 2 weeks, just on this right here. It's all in the Bible. But isn't it wonderful to know when you go home at night, and I talked to a guy here a couple of weeks ago at the park, and I said, would you like to be saved? And he said, oh, I said, you ever been saved? He said, I don't know, maybe. I said, let me take the Bible and show you how you can know. He said, nobody can know that. I said, I know it. I know I'm saved. He said, well, how do you know? I said, I know, number one, God said in that book. He said He cannot lie. The hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world. I said, I know I'm saved. And I know there's been a change in my life. I know I've been born again. I know it. I know it. And it says, standing with God. Look at Ephesians 2:8. You know this. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, not of works, not of works. Not of yourself, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. When you got saved, not of yourselves, not of works, we're His workmanship. That's why your standing is secure and is permanent, because it does not depend on you. It's all what God did. Take your Bible, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and get Romans chapter 8. I'll tell you, one of the greatest things you'll ever get is to know you're eternally secure. Two greatest things you can teach a new Christian. Number one, that King James Bible is perfect without error, and you can pick it up and read it and just exactly what it says. You don't need Greek, you don't need a preacher, you don't need a scholar. You just pick it up and read it, what it says and what it says, and you can trust God on it. And a second thing to teach them, they're eternally secure. Because you've spent half your life doubting your salvation, it's going to be hard serving God. One time I heard over there in the Golden Gate Bridge, when they built that thing, I was reading about it years ago, and it's pretty interesting. That thing was, they didn't have any nests, Brother Zito. And it had, I think it was 140 men died building that thing, falling down from it, you know. And they'd work on that thing, and all of a sudden they'd slip on that Golden Gate Bridge and, you know, over in California, and they'd fall and they'd die. 140 of them. And working stopped. They quit working. They were up there trying, but they're scared to death. You know, nobody, nothing got done. It just went down to nothing. And finally some engineers got together and they built a net underneath where if they fell, the net would catch them. And you know what? They started working like crazy. You see, when you realize there's a net under you and you're safe and you're cured and you're standing, you know what? You're ready to go. You're ready to go. That's your standing. You're standing with the Lord. Look over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. This is good stuff right here, boy. This is my favorite verse maybe in the whole Bible. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God." Watch it. Look at them two words. In him. We didn't do it. It's all in him. When God sees me, he sees it, oh, the righteousness of God. I'm sinless. I'm perfect. There's no sin there. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He took my sins and put them on him. In my standing with God right now, he sees a perfect human being. That's my standing. There's a great song the Sound Doctrine did. I started to sing it the other night, but I didn't want to mess it up on Father's Day. Called "In My Father's Eyes." From a distance he'd be watching me, and I guess somehow he knew that in my heart I longed to be like him. In time the closer we became, the more it seemed I grew. I'd fall, he'd pick me up, and I'd try again. He loves me even when I do the things I shouldn't do, and when I fail to do the things I should. I've heard it said that love is blind, and I've come to know it's true. He forgets the bad and remembers all the good. In my Father's eyes, there's no wrong I've done. In my Father's eyes, I am the perfect son. He must see someone that I can't see, and it makes me want to try to be like the son that's in my Father's eyes. You see, when God looks through that thing and looks at me and you, know what he's seeing? He's seeing the blood of Jesus Christ. He's seeing the righteousness of his son, and our standing with God is his righteousness, according to that verse, is God himself. That's your standing with God. Look at Romans chapter 8. And notice what it said in him. Righteousness of God in him. That's your standing in him. Romans chapter 8, get John chapter 10. Romans 8, John chapter 10. That's your standing with the Lord. Romans chapter 8, Paul's on shouting ground over here in Romans chapter 8. He's getting excited. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Paul says this, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." That doesn't matter. If we're killed, we're slaughtered. Paul said, it doesn't matter what he's saying. "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor power nor things present nor things to come nor height nor death nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You say, what is that? That is your standing right now, and nobody, nothing, death, angels, the devil can't stop it. Nothing in Christ Jesus. That's where you're at right now if you've been saved. That's your standing. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. That's your standing. John chapter 10. Jesus Christ is talking, verse 27. John 10, 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them in me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." That's your standing. And like that old colored preacher says, they's the only ones in the plucking business. Amen. They're the only ones. And that standing is secure, it's permanent, it's wonderful. Fellowship may break, but boy, that standing's secure. I saw Andy Griffith one time. I get a lot from Andy Griffith. It's the gospel of Andy Griffith. And it was the one, I know y'all seen over there with Peggy, his girlfriend. He's in love with Peggy. And Hope's a little guy. And they go fishing, you know. And they take Peggy fishing. Peggy goes and she catches this fish about this big, Brother Zito. You remember that? She catches that big, and Joel and Opie catches Jonah. He catches one about this big. Remember that? And she reels in that little bitty fish, and Daddy said, "Oh, look at the size of that thing, Ope. We can't catch one that big, can we?" And Ope's looking at his. He just throws his away. Remember that? And he gets jealous for Peggy, because Danny wants to be with Peggy. Y'all want to remember what happened? And so he's supposed to meet Peggy at a place, and Andy tells Aunt B, he says, "I tell Peggy when she calls, I can't be there. I'm going to be at so-and-so. I'll meet her there." So the phone rings, and Opie picks it up. And it's Peggy. She said, "Andy, is he supposed to be there?" Opie said, "He didn't say nothing to me." He's lying. He said that Aunt B heard him, didn't he? So Peggy's out there waiting and waiting and waiting. And Mud gets on her, and she's all mad. And then she comes in the next day, gonna meet Andy. She puts a piece of paper, a note, said, "Give this note to your dad." You remember that? And she sets it on the desk, and Opie's there, and he puts his feet up on the desk. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
And he just kind of moves it over a little bit and drops it in the trash can. Y'all remember that? So she didn't meet. And so she gets mad at Andy and throws a fit. And Andy can't get her on the phone. And Opie walks in there and he said, "Paul, it's all my fault." And he said, "Boy, you got yourself a mess of trouble." He said, "What's wrong with you, boy?" He said, "Well, Paul, I thought you was going to get hurt and you wouldn't want me no more." Y'all remember that? And Andy sits down there and he said, "Oh, come here, Ope. Come here for a second." He said, "Come here and sit in my lap." And he sits down and he said, "Ope, I want you to listen to this real careful." He said, "Ope, I love you. You are my son, and I love you more than anybody on this earth." And he said, "You will always be my son, and that'll never change, and nothing or nobody will ever change that, Ope." That's God the Father, see. Maybe sometimes get a little difficult. But listen, if God is your Father, nothing or nobody, nothing can change that standing. God did it. It's settled. It's permanent. It's secure. Thank God. And now we come to the state. And folks, that's a horse of a different color. Your standing was all faith. Your state now is all works. Your standing was all about what God did. Your state now is all what you do. It's up to you to take this one. And the definition for state says this. It says a particular condition that someone or something is in at a specific time. You know, the president, every year he'll come on and have the State of the Union. Y'all know that? And what they'll get out there and lie and tell you how great the country's going, tell you how bad it was when the last president. You know, and the governor, she'll go on there and have the state of the state. And that's just that position where you're at kind of thing. It just says the state. See, our standing has nothing to do with what we did. God did it. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And God did it all by faith. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself." But when it comes to your state, it's all about you. You got control of it. And it's all about works. Your standing is a permanent situation. It'll never change. It's that relationship with the Lord. But your state changes all the time. It changes hourly, daily, monthly, minutes. I mean, it changes all the time. Just depending on how you react with faith. Depending on what you're doing with God. Depending on you reading your Bible. Depending on you watching something you shouldn't watch. I mean, it changes all the time. Just like that. And your state is totally controlled by you. There's very few things in life, folks, that you're totally controlled of. But the one thing you're totally control of this life is your relationship, your fellowship with the Lord. It doesn't depend on your spouse. It don't depend on your husband. Don't depend on this church. Don't depend on the preacher. Don't depend on your occupation. Don't depend on your job. Don't depend on your health. Well, nothing. It's strictly what you do for the Lord. All about that. It's your state. Our state is all works. My children, they're my children. That'll never change. That's that standing. It always is that way. But there's times in their life, you know what? That state changes. Every one of you. There's times in your relationship it changes. That state changes. There's been times my little girl Rachel, I could have spanked that kid every hour. couldn't we? That kid was something else, man. We'd practice and sing at night, you know, and try to work on songs. She'd say, "Let me sing." She didn't want nobody else to sing but her. Mom would come in. She said, "No, let me do that part." That's the way she was. That kid's something else. But you know what? Their relationship with me and my daughter never changed. But that fellowship could. And it was like this sometimes, especially when you got kids and they're little. You come home in the house, you never know what's going on. I mean, you're in the room and all of a sudden you hear something. They say, "I didn't do that." Oh, you know, trouble. But it changes. That's the way it is with the Lord. Our relationship as a son, God the Father, never changed. But that fellowship changes all the time. You're either closer to God or you're further away. I mean, I still love my children. Never quit loving. There's nothing in the world they could do that I wouldn't stop loving them. But there's times I've been disappointed. Y'all remember the time Andy Griffith... Everybody knows Andy Griffith, see? Y'all remember the time Obi ran the race? And he ran that race and he didn't win. And Barney trained him, you know, and he thought he was a jackrabbit. He'd win that thing. He was slow as a turtle. He was the last guy on there. And he got mad. Y'all remember that? Threw his thing down, went home and got mad and all that. And Andy said to him that time, he said, "You don't know how to be a good loser." Obi said, "I am a good loser. I know how to lose. I lose good." And Andy said, "You know what, Obi? I'm disappointed in you." Remember that? Remember that? Fellowship was broken. Relationship. He's still his son. Nothing to change that. Remember that? And Obi come in there that day and opened the door and walked in there and got right with him. He said, "Dad, Paul, I don't want you to be disappointed in me." That's that state, see? That's that fellowship with God. That's the thing you and I have to work on if we're going to stay close to the Lord. Now, I love Brother Ben over here. Brother Ben, one thing I really like about Brother Ben, if he messes up, he'll stand up in the church and tell you. Some of you need to do that. He don't have pride. He'll make a commitment. He set up a while back and said, "Hey, I need to read my Bible. I hadn't read my Bible. I'm not going to read it in 90 days. I'm going to read it in 45. Why don't you do that?" And he did it. He made a commitment, didn't he? He is not tithing right. He stood up in the church one Thursday night and said, "Hey, that message got me lined up." He said, "I've been tithing, but I hadn't put it in front." He said, "First thing I'm going to do is give it to God." Didn't he? You know what he did? Made a commitment. That's good stuff. Stand up in the church and say, "Hey, I done messed up, folks, and you just forgive me. Hey, I want to get my state back. Call me this week." What a blessing. He called me and he was excited about it. He was telling me, he was driving down the road and the guy pulled out in front of him, I think it was, or something. Or he pulled out in front of him. And the guy shot him the bird, gave him the finger, you know. And Brother Ben said, "You know," he said, "before that," he said, "I'd have shot it back." He said, "Once he pulled over," he said, "I'd have got out and beat him up." What he said. He said, "I'd have said so." But he said, "You preached the other day about crucifying the flesh." And he said, "I just kept going and smiling." He said, "I thought about that bumper sticker on my car too. What a testimony it'd be." You know what that was? That was his state, see. He got a mess his state up that day and got mad at that guy and, you know, beat him up, run him off the road. It don't tell him what you could do. It don't take with that much to get mad, you know. He could have done something. He just said, "Okay, God, praise the Lord, I'm just going to keep going." You know what that is? That's just keeping that state, see. Every day, everywhere you go, normally, there's something or somebody that can push your button. I told you the other day, I stood in that drive-in at the bank for 15 minutes waiting to deposit a little check for Dial the Truth. Brother Zito was telling me when he came out there to Logan's a while back, he said, "Man, the whole computer was down. I couldn't even get a check cash." You know, stuff like that will bug you to death. And if you're not careful, you'll say something stupid. That's your state, see. When I was there at the bank and I started to push the button and I just asked her, I was going to be nice and say, hey, did you forget about us? The people next to me, honest to goodness, I'm telling you the truth now, they had opened up their car and they were sitting outside of it eating chicken. They was having a picnic. It'd been so long. I'm telling you the truth. I started pushing a button and said, hey, you forget about us out here? And I looked inside. That girl was getting chewed out by that guy and all that stuff. And I said, I'm not going to do that. She came back and I was so nice to her and real kind. I wanted to make sure, try to make up the difference. You say, what is that? I'm just trying to keep that state with the Lord right. Because I could have just said, poop, done something. That's your state. It just every day, just like little Ben, what he did. You know what that was? That wasn't a big deal, but it was a victory. Every little victory adds up, see. Once you do one little victory, then the next day you do another victory. And that deals with your state. That works. That's what you have to work on. And the good thing about the Lord, the great thing about God, He'll always keep His part of the deal. Always. I love to preach. I love to preach. I love to witness to people. And you know the reason I like to do it? Because I know God will keep His part of the deal. When I talk to somebody about getting saved, I know if they mean it and they pray and ask the Lord to save them, I have no doubt in my mind, according to the authority of the Word of God, they got saved. And I always ask them what just happened. They say, I got saved. And not only that, I know as a child of God, if we obey those Scriptures and do what God says to do, I know He'll honor His Word. 27 minutes and 46 seconds. We're not going to make 30 minutes, but we'll be pretty close. God always keeps His part of the deal. You know, and I've heard this and I know it's true, you're as close to God right now today as you want to be. That's right. You say, well, I'd like to be closer. Then do it. Because it all depends on you. You're in total control of your state with the Lord. Now that standing is secure. God took care of it. But now it's up to you to take it as far as this Christian life as you want to go. God is unlimited. There's no limit to God. All throughout the Bible, He has promises. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. That simple. You say, well, I got to draw to Him. Yep. God's always got the condition there. Cast in all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You can't outgive God. You can't outwitness. You can't outserve. You can't outlove Him. There's no way possible. You're as close to the Lord as you want to be. Because here's the thing about God. There's no limit. Me and Brother Dot and Brother Chris and Miss Brother Anthony the other night at the Mexican place, he's talking about those sharks, great white sharks. How they're hitting those seals. We got talking about how all these animals God made and this world He made. Hey, you know what that great God has done? He has given you a blank check. All you have to do is fill it in. You can take in this life and get as close to Him and know Him as much as you want to do it. It's just a matter how far you want to go. It's just a matter how much you want to give up in this world to know God. There's your state. Bible, take your Bible, turn to a few places. Turn over to James chapter 4. Get James chapter 4. And let's go to Philippians chapter 4. I could give you a bunch of them. Just give you a couple of them. You see, this Christian life is everything you make it to. Has nothing to do with this preacher. You say, that old preacher up there had nothing to do with this preacher. You say, well, my old husband, that old sorry, had nothing to do with your husband. Had nothing to do with your wife. Had nothing to do with anybody in this church. Has nothing to do with your health. Has nothing to do with your wealth. Has nothing to do with your job. It's between you and God. And the thing is, God will always, 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 always keep His part of the deal. Always. Always. That's why I love preaching. Because I know what I'm telling you is the truth. And I know it by the Word of God. Look at James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. That's simple. No will or worm. You want to get close to God? He said, draw nigh to me. Come on, boy. I'll get drawn nigh to you. You can't outdraw God. Look at Philippians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 5:18, everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to be in the will of God? There it is. In everything give thanks, you say in that. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him. On and on. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. You see, in this whole world, you can be mad, sad, or you can be glad. And if you're a child of God, it'll depend on your relationship with the Lord. One of my favorite Christians is old Billy Bray. And old Billy Bray, before he got saved, he was an old Welsh coal miner. He was a reprobate man. He was a bad cat. But he got saved. He became a great soldier for the Lord. And old Billy Bray had walked in. He'd go, hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Glory to God! And they said about him, Brother Zito, they said he was a madman. He said they meant to say I was a glad man. See, the world don't think you're mad. It doesn't matter. As long as you've got that relationship with God, nothing can get in the way. It's up to you. You do what you want to with it. You do what you want to with this life. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication, let your request, thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Watch this. Watch this next verse. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And, you know what and means? It means do the first part. A lot of people quote that second verse, and the peace of God that passes all understanding, but they skip that first one. See, people say to me sometimes, well, God already knows about what I need, why do I have to pray? So it gives you the peace of God that passes understanding. That's why. Pray about it. Pray for everything. Say, what is that? That deals with your state. That's your state. It has nothing to do with your health, your wealth, your job, your spouse, your kids, the church. Nothing. John Prescott, that guy that comes here, lives in that van for 20 years. That guy blows my mind. That's one of the happiest guys I've ever seen in my whole life. Don't have nothing. Sleeps in that old dirty van. Takes a bath every once in a while. Don't own a cell phone. Hadn't seen a TV probably in 10 years. Don't even know what one looks like. He probably showed one of these new TVs. He wouldn't even know it. Seriously. When he calls me, he stops someplace at a library or something. That's one of the happiest guys I've ever seen in my life. I gave Reggie's emails a while back when he got cancer, throat cancer, stage 4 throat cancer, and he's praising God for giving throat cancer so he can witness to the nurses and the doctors at the hospital. You know what that is? State. He's standing secure. It's steadfast. But that fellow's got a state with God. I'll tell you something else. A man will walk in here, Lord willing, next Sunday morning, he'll be one of the happiest men you ever see in your whole life. And he spent 50 years in a desert with a bunch of lepers. Two daughters died. Grandson just died. Living over there. Don't owe nothing. No property. Probably don't even have a car. Be one of the happiest men you'll ever see come through those doors. You say, why? He got that state right. See, that state doesn't depend on your health or your wealth. It don't depend on anything around you but God. That song we sing, I come to the garden alone when the dew is still on the roses, and he walks with me and he talks with me and tells me that I'm his own. And the joy we share, no one there, all that. C. Austin Mills wrote that song laying on a bed on his back in a damp basement where there's no garden nowhere near, and he died institutionalized. He wrote that song. That's one of the most beautiful songs. How did he do that? That was his state. Not just where he's at. He is sick all his life. Doesn't matter, Fanny Crosby, blind, 9,000 hymns. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Louisa Stedman wrote that song, was homeless at the time, and somebody put a sack of groceries there, and she wrote that song. Say, how in the world could you sing something like that, homeless? Because her state was okay. See, your state don't matter whether you got a home, whether you're homeless. I tell you what, there's people down there that are homeless Tuesday nights that got more joy than a lot of Christians in this church. And some of you have been there. You say, why? They got a better state with the Lord. Don't have much, but they got a better state. See, you can go through this life walking with God in the garden, or you can have the joy of the Lord, or you can have the woe of the world, one or the other. It's your choice. It's 100% your choice. Totally up to you. Nobody else is even a player besides you and God. No matter what the situation. Harlan Polypov spent 13 years in a concentration camp praising God. Richard Wambron, 13 years in Romania. John Bunyan, 13 years in Bedford. Hey, they were all praising God the whole time. Sitting in the jail away from their families. Say, how can that be? They had that state right. See, your stand is permanent. You don't have to worry about that. God took care of that. That's done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, start with the state. That's all works. Your joy, it doesn't depend on circumstances. It don't depend on situations. It don't depend on nobody but you and the Lord. I heard Brother Charlie Andrews say one time, pastor at Glory Land, he said, you know what? He's an old motorcycle bum, president of the Devil's Disciples motorcycle and all that. Been shot a bunch of times and all that stuff. He said this. He said, even if I didn't have heaven to look for, he said, the joy that I have in this life in Jesus Christ, I'd still do what I'm doing. I would too. The joy and the peace and the purpose that I've got right now is better than anything I ever seen in this life, bar none. Say why? Got to keep that stake. Standing's great. But see, that stake goes all over the place. And that state is a physical walk. It battles the flesh. You go through it. Take your Bible. Turn over to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. That state changes all the time. You can get up out of the bed wrong sometimes. You can wake up with a headache sometimes. You can wake up just mad sometimes. You can go to bed that way. You can get out and go to Walmart. I was at Walmart last Monday and this lady kind of jumped in front of me. You know what I did? Punched her in the nose. Gave her a gospel tract. Said, ma'am, could I please give you a little gospel tract? She looked like one of these country bumpkins, you know. She had Alabama stuff all over. And I gave her this gospel tract. And I said, ma'am, let me give you a little gospel tract. Tell you about the Lord Jesus, how much He loves you. And she said, well, praise the Lord. She said, I'm saved. And she told me when she got saved. And me and her just had a wonderful conversation. But see, I could have jumped in there and pushed her out of the way. But I didn't. I just said, praise the Lord, gave her a track. That's your state. It happens all the time. Remember old Paul in Romans chapter 8? Remember him, how, boy, he was on shouting ground. Remember that? Yeah! Yeah! Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Not death, not angel, not now creature. Boy, he was excited he was preaching that message. Remember that? That was his standing. Y'all remember that, don't you? Look at Romans chapter 7. Look over here in Romans chapter 7. Here's the same guy. Here's the same guy talking now. Watch him. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know it is in me in my flesh. That's a different story, see. That one over there with his standing in the love of God. Now he's talking about that state. There's nothing in me, the state. That is in my flesh. I dwell with no good thing. Your will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would not do, but the evil that I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more than I do, but I have sin that dwelleth in me. I find in the law that when I do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity, the law of sin which is my member. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? Hey! That was the same guy over there, man. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Not death, nor angels, nor principality, nor power. He's over there. Oh, man, who in the world can let me go this wretched body of death? See, what was that? That was his state, see. Over there is his standing. See, that standing is secure. Nothing to separate us from that standing. But brother, that state didn't get separated real easy. One more place. Turn over to 1 John. Turn over to 1 John. 39 minutes. Not too bad. Not too bad for this one. 1 John chapter 1. Somebody asked me about this years ago. I taught them this years ago. They asked me, they said, how can 1 John 1 be? And then you go to 1 John 3. He said, it's a total contradiction. I said, no, it's not. And I taught it here one Sunday. You see, one of them talks about your state and one of them talks about your standing. Because look at 1 John chapter 1, pick it up, verse number 3. This is your state with the Lord. This is what you do. Watch this. That which we have seen and heard, declare unto you, that which you also have fellowship, about that fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write unto you, that your joy may be full. That's your state. And this is the message we've heard of Him, declare to you that God is light, and Him is no darkness at all. Watch it. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness. That's that state, that's that walk. And we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk, that's what you do. That's your state. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. You know what that's about? Your state. If we do this, if we confess and we do this, if we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar, His truth is not, all that stuff. Now flip over to 1 John chapter 3. look at the difference. Totally night and day. You say, what's the difference? 1 John 1 is talking about your state and your walk with the Lord. But we walk, if we confess our sins, yada, yada, yada. When you get to 1 John chapter 3, it's talking about your standing with the Lord. Look how it starts off. Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. You know what that is? That's your standing. Over there, John 1, it's all about we. Over here, it starts off, look what the Father's done for us. That's your standing, folks. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Come down to verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin the transgression of the law. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him, that's your standing, folks, is no sin. Remember over there it said, if we say that we've not sinned, His truth is not in us, we make Him a liar. Look what this says in the next verse. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. You say, what's that, preacher? That's your standing, see. That's your state over there that says you're just full of sin. If you say you hadn't sinned, you make Him a liar and the truth's not in you. You run over here and it says, hey, you've never even sinned. You say, why? That's your standing. That's beloved. Look at the love that the Father hath bestowed upon us. That's how good it is. Keep going. Whoso abideth in Him, that's your standing, sinneth not. Whoso sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Hey, what a contradiction. That's what somebody asked me years ago in this church. How in the world could he say that's a total contradiction? I said, nope. It's right in line with the Scriptures. But look at the context. Keep going. Little children, that no man deceive you. He that doth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested and may destroy the works of the devil. Watch it. Whosoever is born of God, what is that? That's your standing. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For what? Look at that next thing. His seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he's born of God. Somebody said, wow, what a contradiction. No, it's right in line with Scriptures. When God sees you're standing, you're as righteous with God, and there's no sin there because of that seed. Just like my son. He is my son because that seed's there. And nothing to change it. See, that standing you got, it sure is wonderful. It sure is wonderful to sit back and know God's taking care of it. But that state to me, brethren, it's even more wonderful. The great thing with God, I know I can't outgive Him. I know I can't outserve Him. I know I can't outlove Him. I know whatever I do, there's going to be a reaction just as good or better from the other side. And that's all deals with me and you. Brother Don, how about you dismiss us in prayer tonight?
Heavenly Father, thank you for prayer, Lord. We thank you.